Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads. I am your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you guys could join us today. First of all, if you haven't already, hit that follow and subscribe button and give us a like, as that helps us to continue to bring you the great content that you guys love and that we love to deliver to you. So today we have got a special guest, and she is going to discuss with us through personal experience the theology of suffering. And she's got some magnificent things to say to you guys. So make sure you tune in here. You stay with us to the very end, as there's going to be a lot of good stuff that you're going to be able to jump into. So, and things that we're going to hopefully be able to pass on to you after the even after the show's over. So without further ado, I welcome to the show, Laura Silverman. Laura, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be on here. I'm just so excited to share my testimony and just be here with you guys.
Well, it's great to be here, and I'm glad to have you here. Excuse me. And we're just looking forward to a fun, fruitful discussion. So without further ado, let's kick this thing off. So Laura, for our audience's sake, you know, talk about your story, really show us how God has led you through your journey, and kind of give us that, those bits and pieces to help our, again, help our audience understand who you are.
Sure. Thanks so much. So where do I start? I guess I'll start at the very beginning, as Julie Andrews said in The Sound of Music. So in 2018, about 8 years ago, I was at the height of my career. I was a lawyer. I had just started my dream job as a federal prosecutor. You know, I went to Stanford Law School. I was at the top of my game. And the Lord had just opened a door to my dream job, which, like I said, was to be a federal criminal prosecutor. I had always wanted to work in criminal justice. I had always wanted to be a trial lawyer. And long story short, 2 weeks in, I fell mysteriously ill with a very rare neurological disease. And frankly, 8 years in now, we still don't really have a proper diagnosis. I mean, the doctors initially threw, you know, 12 diagnoses at me. You know, my body was undergoing, I mean, I felt like I was undergoing like rapid military testing, CAT scans, MRIs. I mean, I was hospitalized twice. I mean, we consulted, you know, British experts, East Coast experts. Basically, the bottom line was, my disease stems from the connection between my ear and my brain, and we don't know quite what's wrong, but it's something that doesn't allow me to process where I am in space. So even though you see me seated upright right now, the world is turning around me in my vision, and it's extremely uncomfortable and painful. And so I'm still bedridden about 60% of the day. So after this podcast, I'm just going to slam right back down on the bed. So I'm a good actor. So, you know, when I'm seated up, I'm trying to, you know, exude joy and take that joy that the Lord is giving me, but I'm still in a lot of pain, even 8 years in. So long story short, I had to resign from that job, which, you know, as a young 30-year-old who was very type A, was very difficult for me. You know, it's like, what are you doing, Lord? I mean, you can imagine all the questions that I was asking in terms of, well, why did you take me to law school, Lord? Why did you open this door? Why am I like seriously ill when I've been healthy for the first 30 years of my life? And I had to resign, but I felt the Holy Spirit really with me at that time. I mean, I am a living testimony of how the Lord really held my hand. I mean, the day before, the United States Attorney's Office was asking me, are you coming back or should we extend your leave? Like, are you going to quit? Like, what's happening? You know, my whole family was praying, my church was praying, and I opened my daily devotional app. And it was all about how, you know, has God opened a door only to seemingly close it? Are you confused about his will? Does it feel like, you know, he took you in one direction and now he's taking you on a detour? I mean, it just spoke to my heart, and it was one of those Holy Spirit moments. And it just comforted me because it made me feel like, okay, Lord, you're still sovereign. You know what you're doing in terms of taking me out of this, you know, job for now. And I just followed. And unfortunately, what happened after that is things went from bad to worse. I mean, basically, I was bedridden on that bed for 3 full years without being able to move my head off of a pillow. So I'm talking on a bedpan with my mother nursing me. I was hospitalized twice, as I mentioned earlier. None of the experts were able to really explain what was going on. I lost 36 pounds. I mean, we hired so many private doctors, you can imagine. And it came to a point 3 years in where it was either I was going to try to move again or die because, I mean, my labs, I mean, you can imagine when you're not moving. So you can just see all the, how traumatic the experience was. But I can tell you that, man, it was a wrestling match between me and the Lord in terms of, asking all the tough questions like, Lord, why would you lead me to law school? Why am I suffering so greatly? Why are you not answering our prayers for wisdom on what pharmaceutical to take, what new, treatment to try? And all the Job type questions you can imagine that anyone would ask going through such severe suffering. And, 3 years in, I started to try sitting up again. And nothing had changed. In other words, the world is still spinning. There was one difference, which I, glory to God, where now my blood pressure doesn't drop the minute I sit up. So I'm able to tolerate sitting up for about, 1 to 2 hours. But that's kind of my max. And then I have to slam back down on the bed. So I'm still very much bedridden most of the day with, some activities, which the Lord has given me energy to do in terms of performing and using my talents to just give myself joy. But that's, one part of the story. I don't know if you want to ask any questions about that or should I launch into this sort of plot twist amidst this journey?
Well, I think, right now, why don't you talk, give us, I know there's more to your testimony because you and I discussed it off air. Why don't we jump into the next part of that?
Sure.
And go ahead and lead into that, because I think understanding your physical condition, I think is very important, but I also think your life circumstances are important in this situation. So why don't you enlighten us on that part?
Sure. So basically, right when I started to try sitting up again, the Lord brought a man into my life who was just an acquaintance from church. We had gone to Christian camp together once, years back. And, it was very casual. And this man was a biochemical engineering PhD. He was the youth leader at our church, and he would preach on Sundays. He was kind of like our pastor's right-wing man. He was an excellent preacher, even though he didn't even have a seminary degree. He was just so brilliant. I mean, people in camp circles would call him kind of like the theology genius. He knew the Bible inside and out. I mean, he was just the most Christ-like person I had ever really met. And he was also a missionary to Haiti. So he would, on his free time, he had been to Haiti 12 times with a missions group. And just, he had a heart for the Lord and a heart for making disciples, which I know is so important to you and your ministry. Yes. Amen. Yeah, he basically was the youth group leader. He would make these Bible devotionals for the kids where he would relate the Bible to like Batman, Lord of the Rings, all these cool classic themes. You would love it. But so he starts visiting me and just to give me a theology of suffering, because he called my mom and said, we've been praying for your daughter for so many years. It's time someone visits her. She's isolated. I'm sure she needs a lifeline. And as I wrote in my memoir, basically, I was extremely bitter at this point in time with, with the Lord. I mean, I needed a spiritual lifeline. And lo and behold, this man comes in, sits next to me, and starts giving me a theology of suffering, like a real theology, not just, prosperity gospel, which obviously is false. The plot twist is that he had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer himself at age 38. He had already gone through cancer as a child, and then another separate kind of intestinal cancer came, hit him at age 38. And so he's sitting next to me while I'm laying on that bed in pajamas, and he's sitting next to me with his chemo pump attached, giving me, with his face just glowing and just so at peace with the Lord, even amidst his terminal diagnosis. And I was thinking, like, who is this guy? Like, and he just kept visiting me. And I grew spiritually because I was finally like, okay, someone is actually speaking truth into my life. And I mean, my parents are believers, so am I, but this man just had really suffered in his life, prior to this. So he had a framework on how to view, how God views suffering, and thus how we should and can view suffering. And long story short, after about, 10 dates, we just, or they weren't even dates. We were just talking, you know, he cracks a joke, I crack a joke. And he was single and I was single and we just fell in love. And it was one of those things where we were like, okay, where did these crushes come from? And Lord, is this even wise? Like, what are we doing? And you can imagine how much we prayed about whether this is, you know, a wise decision. Is it from right. the Lord? And I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to both of us, you know, in different ways, which I outlined in my memoir about take this joy in your suffering. And that was one of the themes that, you know, my book is centered upon, which was look at how the Lord gave us as gifts to one another amidst our mutual severe suffering. I mean, I'm bedridden. He's going through cancer. And we got married and our wedding verse was Isaiah 43:20, which is about wow. how the Lord gave the Israelites refreshing streams of water during their times Amen. Of desert suffering. And it really was a testimony to our whole church and community that you can have joy in suffering. The Lord wants to bless you. In fact, we are called. I mean, look at Paul, sorrowful but rejoicing, poor yet making everyone rich, having nothing yet giving everyone everything, you know, in terms of being content in all circumstances. So Amen. Anyway, I've spoken too long, but he died a year after our wedding, and it was obviously devastating. And you got to read my book because I, you know, I wanted it to be authentic. I didn't want to sugarcoat the pain and the, you know, the questions. You know, it's right. just asking the Lord and wrestling, because I definitely was not as Christ-like as my husband was. I mean, I'm the kind of person. I'm a lawyer. I wrestle. I ask God the hard questions. I'm just yelling. I'm upset. And yet the Holy Spirit was with me. Even, you know, the verse which says, even if we are faithless, he will remain faithful because he cannot disown himself. I think it's in Timothy. Amen. So I am like a testimony. You got to read this because it's like the Lord stuck by me every time I wanted to turn away. And I couldn't because he was right there. He would speak to me through a devotional or a friend or a timely coincidence. Or I'm sure he speaks to you that way also. I mean, the Holy Spirit speaks Amen. In different ways. But long story short, I feel like after 8 years in the fire, and I'm still in the fire because I'm still bedridden, you know, half the day. And I really have felt that the Lord has called me to acceptance of my neurological disease, you know, and that's kind of like a Paul thorn in the flesh sort of situation. And I've gotten a lot of pushback from, you know, people in my community about, well, what do you mean the Lord doesn't want to heal you? And what, I mean, the Lord, and I'm thinking, well, the Lord doesn't heal everyone. And yes, we can still pray, but there's some theology there that I think there's like a prosperity gospel light in some of our, and I'm not blaming my church or anything. I'm just saying, I mean, even I had that idea before I got sick, right? Like, yeah. Why wouldn't the Lord want to heal everyone? But look at Matt, he passed, right? And he was the most godly person I'd ever met. So I'll let you, you know, take over with any questions, but that's the broad sweeps of the story.
So I'm going to make a couple of comments here, and I think this is important. And really kind of plays into your theme and the theology of this is that if we go to Romans chapter 5 and we look at verse, really it says, it's starting in verse 3, not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And so, you know, we have to remember that suffering has a purpose.
Right.
It does. And it grows us in ways that we could never imagine. I'm not saying that it doesn't mean it's fun.
No.
And yeah, I'm not into the prosperity gospel. And the people that listen to me here know that.
Yeah.
And we're not, you know, I'm not, hey, you don't just pray and then God says, oh yeah, here's your pot of gold. Here's your $1 million. You're all good. You know, hey, there you go. What else do you need?
Right.
My wife and I laugh. He is not your customer service agent and he's not your Santa Claus. You know, he's not. That's not what he is. He's your heavenly father, but he's also your king.
Yeah.
And we serve him, not the other way around.
Right.
You know, and I tell people, God doesn't need you. I mean, and people go,
it's so humbling, right?
Yeah,
it's
like, it is. I mean,
I can't believe he would even think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how can I feel like, am I entitled to this show, to do this, to do this calling? No, I'm not. Okay. This doesn't make me some great guy. This doesn't right. like, hey, Lord, I did all this good stuff, so I'm entitled to this. That is not the way this works. And anybody who thinks that way, is really not staying in the word, true to the word of God, because the word of God does not tell us that.
Yeah.
And second thing I wanted to point out was that, you know, you talked about potentially healing, and I've seen healing happen. I have.
Yeah.
I've seen it instantaneous.
Yeah.
I've been involved in that a couple of times. I've watched it happen.
It's amazing. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I've had a couple other situations with miracles, and I've seen those happen. And again, been involved in two of them.
Wow.
But I will say this, actually three of them. But here's the thing. Miracles and healing are temporary. They're great.
Yeah.
And we praise God for that. But you know what? It's a temporary situation. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Guess what? Lazarus eventually died anyway.
Yep.
Yeah. Guess what? The most important aspect of all this, he received Christ.
Right, right.
That is the greatest miracle, is receiving Jesus as your Savior and Lord, because that is your eternal life.
Yeah.
When we receive Christ into our hearts, that is the greatest miracle. The gospel, walking in it, embracing it, surrendering to it, that is the greatest miracle. Because that person has went from death to life. And we're talking spiritual death to spiritual life.
Yeah.
And now they're going to be at home with the Lord forever and be about with his purposes forever. All of our suffering is temporary, but our relationship with him is eternal.
Yep.
And so I wanted to speak to that because I thought you brought that up so eloquently. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. Kind of jump into the book a little bit.
Sure.
A little bit of this theology and all these pieces. And I've kind of sprinkled it a little bit. And you've talked about it through your testimony, and that your testimony is powerful for one thing. I will say that. But number two, I want you to get into some of this theology, especially that your late husband was teaching you and walking you through.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, thank you for all that you just said. I feel like you're preaching to the choir, preaching to the choir. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I've had to learn these lessons over 8 years. You know, you're seeing me here. Don't think I'm on a soapbox here. It took me 8 years of wrestling with the Lord, you know, in a manner way worse than Jacob, you know, to try to get off my lack of humility horse and get on the surrender horse, you know? So, you know, I basically, after my husband died, I just felt a very clear calling from the Lord to write this book. Like, a friend called me out of nowhere 2 months after he died and was like, "Have you thought about writing a book on your journey?" And I was like, "No, I'm a lawyer. I've never wanted to be an author. I don't." And then the next day, another Christian mentor called and was like, "Have you thought about writing a book?" And I was like, "Okay, this is starting to sound strange." And the next week, I prayed about it. And the next week, I kept bumping into Ephesians 2:10 everywhere, which is about how the Lord has given us good works in advance for us to do. So
Amen.
I just felt like the Lord was saying, write down what you've learned, what I've taken you through. I want you to give a testimony of how the Holy Spirit has led you through this valley. Because I will tell you, if God's presence wasn't in this fire, I'm telling you, I don't think I would be a Christian at this point in time. I mean, because you just can't last on a bed without moving your head. I mean, for 3 whole years, you know, you start wondering, is there a God and is he good, right? But the fact that the Holy Spirit was with me, and I'm a lawyer, so I kept like evidence logs. I mean, I couldn't write while I was on the bed, but every time the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I would have my mom write in a journal. And so I kept the receipts, if you will, and I put them all in this to prove like how every time the Lord was comforting me and encouraging me. But to get in, to answer your question specifically about the theology of suffering, I mean, so I think my whole worldview needed to change. I mean, I was very much, you know, I wouldn't say shallow Christian because I really did love the Lord, but I think there was sort of a prosperity gospel in there in terms of, well, God loves me. He's blessed me. He took me to great universities and I've had great health and the Lord wants to use me powerfully in the courtroom and career and having kids and all this. And you don't realize that the New Testament actually says that Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, you have to take up your cross. You know, we don't talk about that, do we? I mean, Jesus explicitly said, you have to take up your cross, and he explicitly promised suffering. In fact, he said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
And so as Christians, it's like suffering is in the contract. It's like, you know, I mean, Romans 8:29, I mean, we talk about 8:28, right? About how, you know, all things work for the good. But the latter part of it is the purpose is to conform us to Christ. In other words, this suffering thing is cooked in, you know, almost, you know, I mean, God is using it redemptively because obviously sin stems from us being in a fallen world. But God, in his sovereign plan, has decided to use suffering in order to transform us. But I'd like to talk about a few other reasons for suffering, sure. You know, not to like I'm an expert, just things that the Lord kind of opened my eyes to, because I think we talk a lot about how he's trying to conform us to Christ, but not so much about some of these other things. So I'll focus on 2 points. The first is the Lord really impressed upon me when I asked him, I'm like, why are you not healing me? Like, why do I need to be chronically ill? Just in neurological pain, day in, day out. Like, it's been 6 years, you know, whatever you're trying to teach me, haven't you taught me, Lord? Like, but the Lord gave me this idea that, and I'm sure you've heard of it, it's like he will turn your test into a testimony, right? This Amen. Is a play on words that actually one of Matt's Christian mentors, the key leader in their missions group to Haiti, he would say, you know, Matt, Lara, you got to turn your test into a testimony. And Amen. I raise that because I hadn't really thought about, you know, if you look at 1 Peter 4-7, it's all about rejoice, brothers and sisters, because these sufferings are testing the genuineness of your faith and they will result in glory, praise, and honor when the Lord comes back. And I think part of that, which the Lord revealed to me, is that we are actually testifying to non-believers, to other believers that, hey, Christ is worth it, even when I'm on a bed, even when I'm neurologically just in so much pain, even when my husband dies after just 1 year of marriage, I can still have joy in the Lord because Christ is real. Christ is worth it. Like, it's almost jarring to non-believers. And I think it really is a testimony. Like, it shows how powerful and worthy that Christ is. You know, I mean, there's many stories of healing, right? You just outlined God can do miracles, right? But what about someone who stays true to the Lord? And, you know, I'm not saying I've done a perfect job. Like, I have wrestled with the Lord mightily, but someone who stays true to the Lord, look at my husband, right? Even in hospice, the joy of the Lord was radiating off him. And there was no one that was not changed after seeing him give his last sermon in hospice to a group of 30 youth group kids. I mean, you can't imagine like the lives that were changed by just watching the way Matt valiantly walked towards death with joy and peace. So what I'm saying is the Lord uses suffering to spread the gospel. I mean, look at when Paul wrote in, was it Corinthians? He said, my chains are to advance the gospel. Do not, you know, he was saying to his brothers and sisters in Christ, like, I want you to know that my chains and imprisonments and all my sufferings are only spreading the gospel. So there's some cool nuggets in the New Testament. If you look for it, it's there where it just says that the Lord is using this to spread his word.
Amen. Philippians chapters 1-4 is what I meant to say. Philippians really gets into this. And, you know, he is suffering when he's writing this stuff.
Yeah.
And he is in chains.
Yeah.
So we have to remember that. And he is, I'll tell you more than any other book, you want to understand the mature believer, read Philippians. The mature believer is really reflected in how Paul writes that letter to the Philippians. And he's commending them. And he's also talking very strongly about your attitude and your focus.
Yeah.
If you read those. And he hammers that away. He just hammers and chips away all the way through. There's a lot of good focus verses in there for believers.
Yeah.
Read the book of Philippians. So not that I'm wanting to wrap up any of this, but we are starting to run out of time. So Laura, tell us, if somebody wants to get a hold of your book, where can they do that?
So it's available internationally on Amazon. So all, you know, international Amazon sites, UK, you know, Canada, everywhere, you can get it online. It's also available at Barnes and Nobles. Just go to your Amazon site and just type in Singing Through Fire and by Lara Silverman. So that's where you can purchase the book. And you can get Kindle or paperback.
Awesome. So, Laura, I want to first of all appreciate the fact you coming on the show and really being vulnerable and sharing your testimony with us.
Thank you.
And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, your call to action is to buy this book. That's your call to action. And of course, I'm going to give you another call to action, buy the book that we're writing once it comes out in January, February. But right now, this book has been live for 1 month. So you get online, you purchase this book, get that in your hands, because I promise you, we all know people who are going through suffering.
Yeah. Right?
And Laura is a living testament to what you're supposed to do through that process. She's lived it. She understands not only the theology, but she understands its application. And so I cannot emphasize that to all of you enough.
Thank you.
You bet. And it's just been a wonderful blessing to have you on the show, Laura. I'm just glad you were able to come on the show with us.
Thank you so much. It's my honor. I hope my testimony blesses everyone.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Well, we're out of time. So I just want to say on behalf of myself and Laura, I want to thank you guys for being on the show and being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads. And as I always close every show, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation and let the great harvest begin.
Amen.
We want to give a big shout out this week to Cupertino, California. I want to thank you guys for your support of this ministry and of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. We so look forward to an opportunity at some point to come out and visit you guys when we take this podcast and take this show on the road. So again, we thank you for your support, and God bless each and every one of you. And we pray that you will continue not only listening to this program, but to also continue to spread the word about the program. Thank you so much. And God bless every one of you.